Okay, thank you. This morning, the meeting is being recorded. Dr. King, after you call the meeting to order, we'll do a roll call of board members and staff.
Okay, it is 8:30 and we will call the regular session, the Arizona PT board meeting to order.
It's June 28th, 2022. Dr. King?
Present.
Dr. Bustillo?
Present.
Mr. Leone?
Here.
Dr. Cornwall?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Mr. Barton?
Here.
Oh, wrong Mr. Barton. My apologies.
Sorry about that.
Josh Barton? Okay, I believe Mr. Barton is absent. Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
And my name is Judy Chepius. Dr. King, the meeting is yours.
Thank you. The first item on our agenda, item number 3A, is review, consideration, and action for the minutes from the May 24th, 2022 regular session. Were there any edits or changes that needed to be made to the minutes? Okay. Hearing none, I move that we approve the regular session minutes from the May 24th, 2022 board meeting.
Second.
Okay. Call roll.
Dr. King? Excuse me. It's been moved and seconded to approve the May 24th, 2022 regular session meeting minutes. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer? Mr. Greer, you're muted.
Yes.
Thank you. Motion passes.
Great, thank you. The next item on our agenda is item number 4, applications for license and certification. Just let the record show that for items 4A1, B1, C1, and 2, we have no items to discuss as a board. So that moves us to the consent agenda, item number 5.
Emailed Judy about this. I have to recuse myself from item 5A1 for Austin Barton.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Harris, does that impact the ability to vote on the consent agenda as a whole?
Judy, members of the board, what I would suggest is that we take the consent agenda items A2 through 4, B1 through 3, C1, and D1, assuming nobody wants to pull any of those cases. We can then take a vote with Mr. Leone participating, and then we can go back to A1 and have a separate vote for that matter.
Okay. So before we do that, are there any items on the consent agenda that anyone would like to pull out other than 5A1 for a separate discussion or vote? Okay, hearing none, then we'll make a motion to approve consent agenda items A, 2 through 4, 5B, 1 and 2, and 3, 5C, 1, and 5D, 1.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, then we will call the vote.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda, inclusive of 5A 2 through 4, 5B 1 through 3, 5C 1, 5D 1. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastille.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
And Mr. Barton is absent. The motion passes.
Thank you. All right. So we have an administrative hearing scheduled at 9, and it is...
Dr. King, I have to go back to do 5A1 separately.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Okay. And this is the one Giovanni's recused from, so everyone is voting for Giovanni. Okay. Is there a motion to approve 5A1?
Move to approve 5A1.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded to approve consent agenda item 5A1. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastille?
Yes.
Mr. Leone has recused. Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Okay. So we will reorder the agenda a little bit in light of a scheduled formal hearing for 9 a.m. Judy, do you have a preference of where we go? Maybe someplace in 9A, B, or C?
We could do that. I know for sure that JB is not planning to attend. I do not know if JW or Ms. Gomez from 2211 plan to attend. Mindy, do you have any?
Yes, Ms. Gomez and the complainant for case 2211, the initial review for Sarah Gomez, they are both present.
Okay, then let's, Kelly, I think that would probably be a good place.
Okay.
Dr. King, you guys are going to miss me today, I guess. So this is another case that I'll have to recuse myself from.
Thank you, Giovanni.
No problem.
All right, so then we will move to case 2211, an initial review for Sarah Gomez, PT. So this is the time and place scheduled for the board's initial review of complaints. There is one case for the board to consider. Are there one or are there three? There's three, actually, total.
One is an initial review. The other two are... whether or not you're going to open a complaint.
Okay, great. Thanks. So it's one case to consider. For everyone's benefit, I'll provide a brief summary of how the board conducts initial reviews. I'll first begin with introductions. My name is Dr. King, and I am a PT and the board chair. Other board members, can you please introduce yourselves and your role?
Karen, Dr. Lucio, president, professional member.
Dr. Cornwall.
Dr. Cornwall, professional member.
Mr. Greer.
Joshua Greer, a public member.
Judy, should I still be introducing myself at this point, or?
No, I think you just are not part of the proceedings in this case with the recusal.
Okay, just want to make sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. For those participating in the initial reviews, please be aware that we have read all of the materials submitted, and if at any time it is necessary to refer to the patient, please use their initials only. In each case, the board will first hear a brief summary of the investigative report from its staff. Once staff is done, the board will ask the complainant if present, if they wish to address the board, and then the board will ask the professional if they would like to do the same. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask that those speaking not take time repeating information that the board has already reviewed. We will, you will be given the same amount of time to address the board as it took, that it took to present the investigative report, around 5 minutes or so. Please keep in mind that this is not the time or place for the complainant and the professional to address each other. The board has a civility policy that prohibits the use of any type of disruptive conduct. Those violating the policy after having been given an opportunity to modify their behavior will be removed from the meeting. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberations. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request that you not interrupt the process. The board's options include, but are not limited to, dismissing the complaint, taking non-disciplinary actions such as issuing an advisory letter or order to continue education, offer the professional a consent agreement, requesting the professional participate in an informal hearing, or remanding the matter to a formal hearing. Before we call the case, I want to advise everyone that the initial reviews are audio recorded. So accordingly, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and only one person at a time. And lastly, as a reminder to the board, this is not an informal hearing. If you have a few questions that will help you better understand the case and take action to potentially resolve the case through discipline, dismissal, non-disciplinary action, or consent agreement, please feel free to ask those. However, if you have a number of substantive questions and need additional investigative information, it may be more appropriate to move this case to an informal hearing. So at this time, I know we have Ms. Gomez and patient JB, or the mother of patient JB is on the call. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mindy, would you please give us a brief review of the complaint?
Sure. The board opened complaint 2211 after review of the complaint from a patient's mother, Ms. AP. She states that Ms. Gomez continued to treat her paraplegic son. He was 2.5 at the time, after hearing a loud, audible crack, and then falsely documented what happened during the session. The allegations, potential violations, were ARS 3220.44, engaging in performance of substandard care by physical therapist, 3220.44.14, making misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations in violation of this chapter, and then based on the investigation, I think I did, I thought maybe I added, I was looking to see if I added violations. Oh, just a sec. Well, this case is for your review.
Thank you. And I didn't see any additional, just the two that you mentioned.
Yes.
Investigation. Okay. All right. Ms. Gomez, would you like to make an opening statement?
I don't necessarily have anything prepared. I wasn't sure how this was going to play out, but I think that Mindy stated pretty well how everything happened. I wanted to give JB as much attention as possible. I knew that he had been without therapy for a while because of his insurance and transitioning. And so we only had, 10 minutes left in our session or so. So I transitioned to something pretty simple. I knew we had to make adjustments to his standard. And I wanted to make sure that he was getting as much care as possible. I knew they were seeing the doctor afterwards and told them to kind of check with him, because I wouldn't be able to refer, to a X-ray. But the doctor could, I thought I was doing what was in the best interest of little JB.
Um, Board members, do you have any questions for Ms. Gomez?
Ms. Gomez, this is Mr. Greer. Did you, I just want to make sure I understood what you just said. Did you refer the patient to the doctor or advise the patient to follow up with a physician?
Yeah, so that day she had told me that right after our appointment she was going to see, it was a urologist, but I knew that she had a doctor's appointment right after our appointment. So I had mentioned to let him know kind of what had happened in the session.
And I'm sorry, I don't want to be, can you remember exactly what you said, or is that your best memory of what happened there?
I mean, yeah, I don't know exactly what I said, but yeah, I don't. I'm sorry.
I noticed that it's not in your notes. Is there a reason why that's not in your notes?
I don't have a copy of my notes, because I no longer work for that company. So I don't know. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Gomez, can you, I know that we've got your response, recorded response and the investigative report, but and several times in your response, you mentioned that the patient is at high risk for, because of the diagnosis, for bone density challenges. Can you just talk me through your decision after you heard a pop to put the patient in standing or continue to put them in weight-bearing positions?
Sorry, I was trying to get my microphone back on. Yes, I... The most likely cause for the pop, in my thinking at the time, was a dislocation of hip or something. And so doing kind of the joint glides and passive range of motion and everything moving how it should, I kind of ruled out that he was dislocated anywhere. But yeah, I didn't want to continue anything quite as strenuous as what we were doing. So we just went into the stander because I knew I needed to make some adjustments on their stander.
Have you ever, in your past history as a PT, assessed hips that potentially were dislocated or subluxed?
I mean, I've worked with kids with like CP and those sorts of things. I've worked with adults with spina bifida, and kind of assessed, yeah, different joints. There was no reason for me to think in other situations that it would be subluxed in that point, but just knowing how the joint glide should feel.
Okay. Are there any further questions for Ms. Gomez?
Just one or two. This is Mark Cornwall. Sir, it looks like you acknowledge that you didn't review prior records or talk to prior therapists before seeing the patient. Can you help me understand why you didn't do that? Were they not available, or?
My first visit with the mom, we pretty much spent just going over past medical history. And I just went mostly off of that. And I think it says in there too, this was my second week at this home health company. And so I wasn't necessarily sure how to, you know, working in a hospital, you can just go back into all of the records. And so I didn't necessarily know how to reach out to the other therapists or past therapy.
did you feel comfortable with the history that you took on that first visit, that you had a good overall idea of what JB had done and what was he was capable of?
I felt like we had a good jumping off point, and that we would kind of build from there. There was some ambiguity as to his hip dislocation history, because his mom had said that there was some missed information about whether or not it had been dislocated or not previously. But for the most part, yeah, we had talked about kind of what they'd done previously in therapy and all of that. So just kind of going from there.
Okay. All right. Last one is, it looks like your notes on those visits could have been a little bit more specific. Do you have anything you want to add or?
Honestly, the thing that has caused me to leave my other jobs is that I was drowning in documentation. I had spent so much time being so thorough on all of my documentation that I would have an entire week's worth of notes to do because I was trying to minimize how much time I was spending on my documentation because it wasn't sustainable. And that was what everybody was telling me is, well, just cut down on your documentation. You have to just do the most important things or what have you. And so, that's why I had been spending so much time on documentation previously is to avoid this sort of thing. But yeah, good reason or not, that's kind of, I was trying to just wean down on my documentation time.
Yeah. Well, did those individuals help you get a better idea of what those most important things are?
No, not really.
Okay. All right.
I have one question. This is Karen Bustillo. Might be two questions. Were you physically touching JB when the crack was felt?
Yes.
Okay. You were assisting him into that tall kneeling?
Yeah, my hands were kind of on his hip. I was behind him.
Okay. All right.
Any further questions for Ms. Gomez to clarify the case? Parent, Mrs. Powell of JB, are you open to answering any questions from the board?
Yes. Can I also state something? Because the incident happened in the first 10 minutes of the therapy, not the last 10 minutes. Okay. I have everything written down from that day.
Okay, thank you.
And she also gave his Frogger after the stander for him to crawl around it.
This is Joshua Greer. The question that I was going to ask you, I'm just going to call you AP if that's okay, is, you know, you say that they're not documented correctly. What exactly do you believe was not documented or covered up, or I can't remember the words you used in your complaint?
She didn't put the information. She said that I declined to hold my child and that I encouraged to go on with therapy, and that's not the case. She asked me as she was assessing him if I wanted to hold him. I said no at that moment because she had her hands on him and was assessing him. When she said he was okay is when I grabbed him immediately and hugged him. Then she said, do you think we should go on? I said, you're the PT, basically. I'm not sure. She said he was okay, so that's why we continue. Because she said, let's put him in a stander.
Anything else that you think is incorrect?
She didn't state that when I called her that night, she asked me what encouraged me or what urged me to go get the x-rays done. At 8:45 that night when I called her back after leaving her voicemail.
That's not in the note.
No, she asked what urged me to go get the x-rays done, and I told her the urologist told me to. So she didn't tell me to go check up with the doctor. I did check up with the doctor.
Anything else that you think's inaccurately reported in the notes?
That's all that I got from what she was saying. I'm trying to read over what I have.
Thank you so much. I don't have any further questions.
I have a question, Ms. AP. This is Karen Bustillo. Did you work with JB in tall kneeling at all, like the week prior to this appointment?
That's actually the thing that she was trying to do. Oh, that's another thing. I'm sorry. In the tall kneeling, she had her hands in between his ankles too, not only on his hips.
Okay.
But I had done that tall kneeling with him before. I had showed her what we were practicing before she even started with him. So she got the idea to go up onto the couch from me because that's what I was doing with him.
I see. Does he use a stander on a regular basis?
Now that his leg is healed, we're starting to put him in the stander again.
Okay, prior to the incident.
He was in the stander on and off. It wasn't a everyday thing, but he was in the stander on and off when he had his braces.
Okay,
there so was
he had to be adjusted. Stander.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. If there are there any other questions that you need to ask before we move? Okay, so this concludes the interview and questions process. At this time, as a board, we'll go into a deliberation. Ask if there's no further questions or comments by the licensee or complainant while we deliberate the case. So, board members, I'd like to go through each of the allegations one at a time to determine whether or not the investigative report and the responses to your questions are thorough enough to be able to make a determination on direction for this case. So, first was ARS 32-2044, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a PT. The investigative report was incredibly thorough, and based on what I've read and listened to comments, I strongly agree with the investigative report that Ms. Gomez was clinically unprepared to treat such a complex diagnosis, particularly only having been in pediatrics a couple of weeks. The fact that she several times made note of this patient's risks of bone density issues and not directly connecting a pop or a sound in a joint or a bone, connecting that to a potential fracture or something other than what she thought it might be, is incredibly concerning. And then continuing treatment to put this person in weight bearing and other positions that could have further compromised the injury is very concerning. And then the documentation. There are lots of formal assessments that can be used for pediatrics to gain a determination of developmental stages. And in her note, she noted that there's no appropriate assessments for this patient's age. And then there were some mentions of movement, but maybe not movement, and range of motion for knee flexion to 180 degrees or knee extension to 180 degrees, which is not even a standard. So I have a lot of concerns about the care for Mrs. for this particular clinician in this situation. So I guess the question is, do we have enough information to substantiate this allegation?
You'll hear from an initial review. I would say let's send this to an informal hearing or informal interview.
I agree. It sounds, Dr. King, it sounds like you want us to kind of adjudicate it. And I think what we ought to do is move to an informal hearing that would give Ms. Gomez access to everything that the investigator had so that she could properly answer questions if there were any. I think that would be more appropriate.
I
would like to add that Ms. Gomez did receive a copy of the investigative
report. Yes. I think she has everything. And
does she have access to her notes?
I don't believe she requested the exhibits.
Okay. Well, I think that her comment earlier with one of the questions is she didn't have access to the notes, and so she wouldn't be able to answer that very well. So an informal hearing would allow us to give her access to those notes so that she could be more informed.
My question would be, do you think her response would be different if she had access to her notes?
Because I think it would. I have no idea, but I think it would be the fair thing to do.
I would propose that we offer her a consent agreement, and if she declines the consent agreement, move it to an informal hearing. I don't know that we need much more information from the investigative report from what we already have, other than a statement of what she might have written in her note that she doesn't recall.
Kelly, there's a hand up.
This is our discussion. So, Dr. King, what were you proposing for a consent agreement? Are you proposing a disciplinary consent agreement, a non-disciplinary consent agreement?
I'm proposing a disciplinary consent agreement. I think that's where we would end up in an informal hearing, most likely. So my discussion would be a disciplinary consent agreement with probation, CEUs around documentation and ethics, CEUs around pediatrics. She's new in her practice, and so I think that these things are, you know, are super important to level to help move her in the right direction for a long practice in PT, hopefully.
She is not presently working.
Okay. But she may.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Right.
Dr. King, I agree with the approach. What are your thoughts on the second allegation, the 32-20-44-14?
You know, that one I'm not sure about. I think it feels a little bit like it's a he said, she said. I know that the licensee says that she asked mom, you know, to hold. Mom says she did, but didn't. And so I'm not 100% sure on that. I'd love for your discussion around that allegation.
Well, that's kind of why I think we might need to go to a informal hearing. You have two different versions of what happened. Maybe it's just she didn't say it exactly the way I would have said it in the notes, and it's more of a record keeping issue. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to know what your thoughts are in the consent agreement. Are you going to ask her to admit to that charge as well, or just on the first charge?
My thoughts are consent agreement on the first charge.
Okay.
And this helps move it forward. It doesn't delay it for her. She can get moving forward on some of her things. I just don't think that at the end of the day, if we move to an informal hearing, we'll have any more information than we have now. And I suspect we'll end up in the exact same situation as far as disciplinary.
I'll support your motion if you want to make one.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion that we offer the consent agreement for disciplinary action for 12 months probation with 6 hours of documentation that can be completed online, 3 hours of ethics. For discussion, I'm going to put 12 hours of pediatrics, CEUs. And then I guess the other discussion is chart monitoring. since she's shared with us that she has a really hard time delineating how to document and what's important to document.
We don't have a documentation statute listed, right? Am I missing something?
It was in her substandard care. She didn't follow the standards for clinical practice for evaluating during an assessment.
But we usually cite a statute for that about relative to documentation.
I'm going to offer that I was remiss in not citing that. It could be considered in the sub. We have typically put the 32-2044-20 citation. You could consider it under substandard care as well.
I would like to hear what everybody else on the board says, but I would add the 2044-20, mostly for clarity. So if somebody was to look at this in the future and realize that, you know, substandard care is so broad, mm-hmm. I agree that it's so broad that you could put everything under that one. So I would favor adding 2044-20.
I don't think she was never noticed on it. So you would have to then, I think, be forced to go to informal hearing to then add that violation. If I'm not mistaken, but Mark, your opinion.
You're probably right. And I'm favoring an informal interview anyway.
Mr. Harris.
Dr. King, members of the board, I think because you're considering offering a consent agreement, I do think that you could add another citation to it, and then she could just simply decide not to sign it and move forward with an informal hearing. If you're inclined to add, though, I would ask that we make sure that in the event that she doesn't sign a consent agreement if offered, that we add that to the possible violations of unprofessional conduct when we notice her for the informal hearing, if that's the route this case takes.
Okay. So then for the motion, I'd like to add ARS 32-2044-20 to support to further support the need for documentation CEUs. And then if she declines the consent agreement, then we'll move to an informal hearing.
And help me with the rationale again, Dr. King, why you want to do a disciplinary consent. Because everything you're asking her to do is continuing education. So we could also handle that with a non-disciplinary board order. We couldn't add the probation, but... So what moves this into a disciplinary arena for you?
The egregiousness of the clinical decision that she made around a pediatric patient who ended up with a fracture and she continued her practice. And so that's why potentially monitoring her documentation could certainly be part of this, or practice monitoring.
Well, yeah. I would say, though, that because you think it's so egregious, I would think a hearing, this is just an initial review, a hearing where she can come in if she wants to, she can get a counsel and come with her so that she can present her best side of the story. And as it is, you're asking her to sign something and she may not fully understand what she's getting into.
I think it's important that we note that we are asking her to sign something, not me, if the board approves the motion. And at the end of the day, she can still move to an informal hearing if she rejects the consent agreement.
Okay.
I'm not opposed to the outcome of a consent agreement. But I struggle a little bit with thinking that every single therapist has to be an expert before they can go treat a patient. And they're real, especially in a home health situation, there's going to be general things that are going to come across. I don't feel like the therapist caused the harm. I think it happened, and it probably would have happened the next time he went to tall kneeling with whoever that was going to be.
Sure.
The problem then becomes what the response was. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have some difference of opinion, whether it's the beginning of the treatment or the end of the treatment, or does mom hold him or does mom not hold him? So I don't know that an informal hearing is going to bring more clarity to that situation. I do think that there are some of the outcomes that you've outlined are positive. And so I'm somewhat in favor of walking down that road. It'll be done. It'll be quick. And we don't have to bring it back in a couple of months. But I also want to be fair to PT, and I want her to have every opportunity to be able to have all the information in front of her to state her her position with us. I'm still on the fence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand. And I totally agree with you. I don't know that we all have to be experts, but I think if this was an adult and new PT was in doing cervical spine something and felt a crack and continued to put them into traction and ended up being, we are all taught clinical decision making around what to do and how to err and the side of what's best for the patient. And I think that that's something that she's missing. And I'm hoping that with CEUs and probation and some time to, and we can't mandate mentoring, but I hope she finds an employer who will provide her mentoring and training so that she's got someone to talk these things through as a new grad. I mean, she's still relatively new, as a practitioner. Someone who can talk through things with her.
The mentoring that we have seen in the past has been external monitoring. It's been in the form of external monitoring. So there is that avenue.
Okay. And so I did mention that potentially in the consent agreement, I would love to have that for her. I think that she would greatly benefit from being able to talk through some of these things with another professional.
I've lost track. Do we have a second for your motion?
Not yet.
Okay. Dr. King, why don't you restate it and let's get a second.
Okay. So make a motion to offer a consent agreement for disciplinary action for 12 months probation, 6 hours of documentation, 3 hours of ethics, 12 hours of pediatric CEUs, and mentoring through external monitoring for documentation.
Do you want to state the number of records or time or?
Yes. Let's do, I think, what do we normally do, Mindy? 3, 6? I thought the mentoring kind of starts with a certain number and then they kind of wean down as the licensee progresses.
You're muted.
I guess I need a little bit more clarity. Are you wanting a monitor just to look at her document, how she's documenting, or are you wanting her to raise the level of her clinical practice as well?
Yes.
With pediatrics.
Mm-hmm.
So your monitoring is going to be a bit more intensive if you're looking at clinical practice issues.
Okay.
And typically that would be on par of a monthly monitor who would look at a minimum of 5 cases, perhaps.
Okay.
And provide in-person feedback with Ms. Gomez and identify areas of deficiencies in clinical practice that then would be carried forward to the next, you know, several months. So in the past, we've done, I think, a minimum of 6 months if the clinical practice is really deficient.
Okay, so 6 months of
clinical monitoring to include documentation.
To include documentation.
Maybe the clinical standards of care in pediatrics. Now that's if she goes back to work in pediatrics. So if from a clinical decision making, you could make it more generic, you know, that once she returns, you're going to have to toll this until she gets a job, the monitoring aspect of it. But depending on what patient population she's treating, you may have to craft the language that would accommodate whatever setting she's going to be in.
I think we should be general, you know, because I think it would be a fantastic support for her to have this monitoring, no matter who she's working with, you know, and for clinical practice. So I would be inclined to just say clinical standards of care, regardless of the practice that she's in.
And the other thing you may want to consider is she was in home health. It's a very isolated setting mm-hmm. for a new grad.
Yes.
I don't know if you could stipulate to, you know, for her own benefit that, you know, her employment includes access, you know, in a setting where she can access peers more readily. You know, SNF, acute care, subacute, there's a outpatient, there's a variety of settings where there's other clinicians available for ongoing mentoring, which would be to her benefit based on what I hear you saying her clinical deficiencies are.
I don't want to limit where she would potentially practice necessarily. I think that, if she chooses to continue in home health, that's certainly within her purview, but making sure that we've got monitoring and mentoring for her, if that's where she prefers to practice, I think that that's important.
I think that's kind of unrealistic and impractical if she chooses to continue with home health. I don't think she's going to get the level of monitoring that Mindy was talking about. So
no.
We could restrict her practice for a specific amount of time, you know, while until the order is over, so that she has okay. to work in a setting where there are other therapists readily available.
Okay. I like it.
You know, because you want that monitor to view her doing a mm-hmm. treatment, not just look at the note and say, yeah, everything looks fine.
Thank you, Mark. Okay. So do I need to restate the motion again?
I don't think so, but how about, does everybody else feel they're clear on? Do anybody want to second it? I'll second it.
If you're restricting the practice, can you identify, please, the specifics of how you want to restrict it?
So restricting practice to a setting where other therapists are readily available, so anything but home health for the 6 months of the 12-month probation. Okay, is there a second, or do we start over?
No, I'll second it.
Thanks, Mark. Is there any further discussion?
Dr. King, members of the board, is it okay to add to the motion that if not accepted, to invite in for an informal hearing?
Yes, please. And then add ARS 32-2044-20. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion?
I kind of like with Karen. I think the order would address my concerns and how of continuing education. I think the monitoring is a really good idea, especially since she has gotten information. People have said, well, you need to only document the really essential stuff, but they don't tell her what the essential stuff is.
Right.
And that can vary from one situation to the next. But if there was somebody there on a readily regular basis, then that could become more clear to her. And I think her documentation would get better. I think her practice would get better. I think she'd feel better about her skill level. Having said that, however, I'm still a little uncomfortable doing so much without having an informal hearing. I don't think we need to go formal, but I just get the impression that she was not really prepared for this meeting, she thought it was just going to be something simple and to move on to the next stage. And I worry that she doesn't necessarily have all the information she needs to make a decision. So if she feels it all uncomfortable, I'm hoping that she'll decline it and go to an informal, because that would allow her to have representation if she wants, and she can bring, and she'll have access to the notes. She can make a better case, and things may or may not change. But that's my only concern.
This is Mr. Greer. I share that same concern.
Yeah, I do. I do as well. I think you articulated that very well, Mark.
Okay, so then let's vote on the motion, and if it votes down, then there's another motion.
Okay.
Judy, call the vote.
The motion before you is to offer Ms. Gomez a consent agreement that includes 12 months of probation, which requires during that time to complete 6 hours of documentation, 3 hours of ethics, 12 hours of pediatrics. The continuing education is in addition to renewal requirements, can be taken online. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Restricting her practice setting to a setting where other therapists are readily available for a minimum of 6 months during the 12-month probation, and to include mentoring through clinical monitoring, which includes documentation and clinical standards of care. For 5 records on a monthly basis for 6 months.
Correct.
If Ms. Gomez chooses not to sign the consent agreement, she's invited to an informal hearing, at which time the board will add the allegation of ARS 32-2044-20. Which is failing to maintain adequate patient records. And that is your motion.
Thank you.
Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
No.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Ms. Gomez, the board administrators will get in touch with you and talk through all of the details with you and make sure that you have everything that you need to make your decision. I appreciate your time with us here today.
Thank you, guys, very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, it is 9:25. Do you need to stop recording and then re-record for the next board hearing?
Yes, let's do that, please. I will stop the recording at 9:25.